Okay, so you've just read 1 John 1, 1, 1 5 to 2, 2. I'll just read it out for you. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So let's pray before we begin. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for the light that you shine on us through these words. Lord, we pray to be illuminated this morning by the very light who you are. Help us to do that, we pray, through Jesus our Saviour. Amen. At work, we have sensor lights in the toilets. And what they do is when you walk in, they turn on, instantly turn on. It's quite nice. But one time, a few times, this has happened, a weird experience, where it's getting close to the end of the day, and I've gone into the toilet, the light's turned on, and someone's turned one of the major master switches, and I'm sitting there in the toilet, or standing there in the toilet, with the door shut. It's got no windows, it's got nothing, no light whatsoever. And I'm suddenly in this black, dark room, and it's actually really weird. It's really weird. There's no windows, like I said, complete darkness. I know that the door's just there, but I'm sort of busy, and I know that my aim has been pretty good after 40 years, but I'm still a bit nervous. And I'm sitting there feeling very uncomfortable. This is complete darkness. The first thing I want to do is get out the door.
Sitting or standing?
Standing, most of the time. And I'm standing there, and first thing I want to do is get out the door and just hold the other door so at least I can see and wash my hands and get some light in the place, because the actual whole sense is just completely gone. It's a weird feeling. It makes you feel uncomfortable being in a dark room. Light brings us sort of life, doesn't it? It makes us feel good. We often design our houses around where the light comes in, around light. So we build our houses, and we obviously put windows in them so the light comes in. We don't normally build houses without windows, unless there's a purpose for that. Scientists about 10 or so years ago in the UK, they actually tried an experiment with the human mind. And they placed 6 volunteers into a totally isolated chamber for 48 hours. It was a pitch black room. It was actually an ex-nuclear bunker. And over the 48 hours, they monitored the effects on people's minds and their physical health. And so one person who was in there described it as something as bad as what Adolf Hitler's victims would have experienced. Now, obviously, they couldn't compare that, but they sort of said, this is what it'd be like. The scientists noticed that people's identity started to disintegrate. There was one guy named Adam Bloom. He was a comedian, and he was one of the guinea pigs for the 2 days and 2 nights, and he sat in complete total darkness. And so after the first few hours, he sort of writes a bit of notes on it. After the first few hours of talking and singing and joking, he became quite bored. And then his mind started to filled with all sorts of thoughts of worry and anxiety. He started worrying about his family, his friends, his wife. He lost track of time. He said it was very unnerving. He couldn't tell if it was day or night, so he was sleeping, waking up and being confused. And after 18 hours, he got increasingly paranoid. He started singing, then he started bursting out into tears. He said, I can't remember the last time I cried and felt my emotions beginning to run out of control. I've never felt that experience before. He was 18 hours or so in a black room. He started to think it's a trick. He started to wonder if he's going to be trapped there forever. Everything about him was just starting to deteriorate. His mental alertness was slowing down. So without light, it was almost impossible for him to be stimulated, to feel safe, and his brain felt like it was just going to sleep. That was just 48 hours in a controlled environment where he knew in 48 hours that he's going to be out. Imagine a life living in complete darkness. You have to live in paranoia or anxiety. Imagine that moment when light came in to that place. The joy of the light that you would experience. According to John's testimony of Jesus, God is light, and without God, we live in darkness. Jesus has appeared so we no longer remain in darkness. And because we have fellowship with God, in God there is no darkness. So therefore, we no longer walk in darkness if we're in fellowship with God. Rather, we walk in the light of God's light. So there are three things I want us to look at today in these passages from 1 John 1:5 to 2:2. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. That's the first thing. Secondly, what does God's light do, particularly in our life? And thirdly, how does Jesus cause us to walk with assurance? So at the time of John, false teachers were claiming that you didn't need to take sin seriously. It's a popular form of Christianity today. We only need to look at some of the sinful practices that are endorsed by some churches claiming to speak for Jesus. At the heart of all this teaching, this false teaching, is a serious error as to who God is. You see, I think we're very happy to proclaim the loving God. God is love, as you all mentioned in communion, 1 John 4:8. But this unbalanced view of God is often wrongly proclaimed. They prefer to endorse people's freedoms to sin in order to express love in a way that anyone chooses. They prefer that rather than proclaim God is light, God is holy. So we don't want to proclaim a God who is holy, who judges sin. The God who is light shines onto our darkness, and he shines out of love. Because his desire is us for not to remain in darkness. This is the God who declares what true light is, not according to what we think, not according to our goodness, because we're in darkness. But in God's love, he exposes, his light exposes the lie and proclaims, proclaimed by those in darkness, and reveals to us what God is like so that we won't remain in darkness. So let's have a look at our first point. God is light. This is the message, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is who God really is. God is light. As we mentioned last week, John experienced life with Jesus, who is God and who is the eternal life. So this message that John heard from Jesus, he proclaims to us. It's authentic. And so John begins in his book, in his letter, in verses 1 to 4, talking about Jesus, the eternal life. And now John focuses on Jesus, the eternal gospel message, the message we proclaim. What John heard from Jesus, the eternal word he shares with us. Once again, like we read last week, John was there. He heard the words of eternal life. He saw Jesus, experienced life with Jesus. And so the life of Jesus and his message, they go hand in hand. Sometimes we get that mixed up. We just focus on the life of Jesus, but not what he's got to say. So you can't have a Jesus who is life without his message, which is eternal life. And that message is God is light, and in him there is no darkness. It's a very stark contrast, light and darkness. In the Old Testament, they had a feast called the Feast of Booths. And this was a reminder of God's light who led them, the Israelites, through the wilderness, out through the Exodus. And so this light would lead his people to safety. They followed and walked in the light of God. And then Jesus, at the time of the Feast of Booths, he stood up. In John 8:12, the same writer who writes 1 John, and he claimed to be the light of the world. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am, in verse 12, the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have light of life, the light of life. It's interesting. What's the first thing you want to do in a dark room? Well, normally what I want to do is turn on the lights. I remember we had the blackout a few years back, and the first thing you want to do is scrounge around trying to find a torch because the street lights are out, everything is dark. You do this because you want to see the right path to walk. And Jesus says, He is the very light we need to shine in our darkness. Jesus is the presence of God and the guidance of God to bring us out of darkness so we can see and walk in the light. Jesus is the light of life who gives us eternal life. Jesus, the light, also reveals the character of God, His goodness, His holiness. We have a God who is totally devoid of darkness. God is truthful. His word reveals truth. We have a God who is pure. His light is pure. Our God is pure, perfect and holy. A God who is without sin. And we have a God who is opposed to sin. Sin belongs in darkness, not in the light. Darkness is the absence of God's goodness. And in God there is no evil, no sinfulness. He is holy and righteous without any blemish. Basically, God is the very opposite of who we are. God can find fault with us, but we cannot find fault with God. I think that's the biggest mistake we make as people in darkness. As we look and try and make God like us, we think the idea of God is we think our idea of God is who He is. And we think it's accurate, but it's not, because we're looking through darkness at Him. Jesus brings light onto the subject and shows us who God really is. So we need to hear what God reveals about Himself through John's testimony, which is true. The light of God has appeared in Jesus. So that's our first point. John saw the light and proclaims Jesus as the true light to us. Okay. So what does the light do? What does Jesus, the light, do for us? That's our second point. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light, as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, has cleanses us from all sin. The interesting thing is that if we say is most likely the false teachers who are claiming different things to these Christians, who claim to really be having fellowship with God. They're the real deal. But yet they're clearly walking in darkness. They clearly didn't practice the truth. This could simply be that they were denying the light of God, rejecting the truth of what John declares in his gospel to be Jesus. And so we have two choices, two ways to live. We either are walking a spiritual life with Jesus, or we're walking a spiritual death without Jesus in darkness. There is no option. John's very clear. It's either life or death, light or darkness, black or white, whatever it is, heads or tails. There is no grey areas. Last week we saw how fellowship is better understood as partnership, how they would have understood that. And so we can't have partnership, fellowship with God if we still remain in darkness. God is light, in Him there is no darkness. So if you claim to know God who is light and truth, and yet walk in darkness, rejecting that light, denying His truth, you're a liar. That's what John says, you're a liar. You may think you have fellowship with God, but that's a lie. The truth of God's word is not in you. So John is exposing us and all people to the lies by the light of the gospel. John reveals that light through the word of truth that he's giving to us today. So John's listeners will be illuminated by who Jesus is, the true Jesus. Real fellowship, real partnership are those who know God and affirm the truth of Jesus and walk in the light of His truth. Those who deny God's truth, they reveal the truth is not in them. And so they're clearly not in the light, but they still remain in darkness. Now this doesn't mean as believers, as Christians, we don't sin. It means as we walk in the light, sin is being revealed in our life. Sin is acknowledged as being true. And so we declare sin for what it is, and we pursue holiness because we walk in the light. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Those in darkness deny sin. They claim maybe to be without sin or have not sinned. It's clearly they are liars and God's truth is not in them. And God uses, actually, sorry, John uses the idea of being without sin 4 times in his gospel account. And the idea is not being guilty of sin. It's referring to not being guilty of sin. So the false teachers were saying that you can have a sinless Christianity where there is no moral sins and there is no need for forgiveness. There is no need for a saviour. There is no need for Jesus. And they actually implied it in a way that says you're actually stupid to think you're a sinner. And so they make God a liar. I was actually sat, Kath and myself sat in a church where a preacher said, you should never think of yourself as a sinner saved by grace. I sat in a church and a guy said that. And his whole message was about a self-esteem Jesus who makes you feel good about yourself. A Jesus who only wants to tell you how awesome you are. And it's a popular idea. It was a popular idea then. It's a popular idea today. A Jesus and a gospel that doesn't take sin seriously. We have the love of God, but not the light of God. They say things like, you know, they say the things that God, declares sin isn't really sin. You know, maybe they call things, no, that's okay. That's just maybe a social problem or whatever it is. But they deny what God calls sin, and it's a very dangerous place to be. You are left with a lie and you make God a liar. And sadly, that life remains still in darkness. Like I said, I find it interesting that many people would say God is love, but not many people want to talk about God is light. Why? Because the light reveals things in darkness. It reveals that we are sinners, we are unrighteous. It reveals a pure and righteous God. But the good news is that God, who is light, reveals to us that we are in darkness. That's a good thing. He does that out of love. John's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in darkness, and the light and the darkness has not overcome it. That's what we read earlier in that passage from John's Gospel. Rather than keeping us in darkness, God offers us forgiveness of sin. He brings us into fellowship with him so we can walk in the light. You can't have fellowship with God who is light and walk while walking in darkness. The two things are polar opposite. They can't exist together. You can't have fellowship, partnership together with these things. You can't be walking with Jesus and pursuing a path of sin and darkness. If you fellowship with God, you walk in the light. It's pretty simple stuff. Sometimes hard to grasp. If you walk in darkness, you're pursuing sin and anything that opposes Jesus, and therefore you're not in fellowship with Jesus. So the key is you first need to come to Jesus, come into the light so you can walk into the light. You need to place yourself under Jesus, who is the very light and life of God. And when the light of Jesus shines into our lives, we realize that we do walk in darkness. We realize that we're outside of God's righteousness and we need a Savior. We need Jesus. I remember a TV show where they shined a torch. I think it was one of those blue torches, but I think you can do it with any torch. But they went into motel rooms and they shined torches to see how clean they were. It was a really scary thing to watch. And for our human eye, everything looked clean. The sheets looked clean, the bathroom looked clean. But the light revealed all the nasty bed bugs and the germs and the other things that was left on the bed. It was lots of little things that the cleaners couldn't pick up. We may think that we are clean. We may look at our lives, we may look at each other and think we're clean, but when God's light shines on us, it reveals there are many nasty little things going on in our lives, many nasty little things going in our hearts. And what does God do? What does God's light do? It reveals to us our sin, but it doesn't just leave us there. God's light reveals the truth that we are not holy or righteous, but it doesn't leave us there. It doesn't leave us there. We have a Jesus who has brought us into fellowship with God, Because if you think about this, if you didn't have Jesus and this light is revealed in us, how could we ever have fellowship with God? God who is pure light, pure righteousness. How could we ever have fellowship with God if we can't partner with that? But the good news is Jesus. So how does Jesus cause us to walk with assurance? That's our third point. Verse 7. We're going to jump around a little bit. So verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verses 1 to 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John is writing this letter to believers so they can walk in the light, so that they won't sin. But John's not writing to say we never sin. You can clearly see that in the passage. Because if we say we haven't sinned, if we're out sin, we make God a liar. We're just like the false teachers. The key is what follows in John's writing. But if anyone does sin, isn't it? We have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus the righteous, who atoned for our sins, took the punishment for our sins. It's like Jesus speaks to God in our defense because of the cross. So Jesus is our attorney and our atonement. His death pleased God's judgment of sin. So we stand innocent of the punishment of sin and righteous in that sense before God. He's our defense and he's our restorer who brings us back into fellowship with God. John writes and proclaims the light of God so we overcome sin. As we walk in the light, sin is revealed and confessed. And so we can walk with assurance because in Jesus our sin has been dealt with. Through Jesus, his death on the cross deals once and for all for our sin. So we can have confidence as we walk in the light. So as we can see, John wants us to know that it's not a crazy thing following Jesus. It's actually the best way to live your life today. Walking in the light of Jesus is the best way to live. And I think that's great news because that means through this we have real fellowship with God. And we can walk with assurance knowing our sins are forgiven in Jesus. John tells us the real Jesus really matters. Don't be fooled into the false Jesus. The real Jesus does matter. That light and love is great. The light of God is great for us. This real Jesus offers us redemption, and not just for us, but for the whole world. Regardless of nationality, regardless of how bad you may think you are, Jesus died for all people, because all people live in darkness, and so all people need the light of the gospel. And so we need to tell people about Jesus. It's a bit of a call. If Jesus died for all people, then we need to go and tell all people about Jesus. It's a global mission. So they too can have eternal life. So as we hear John proclaim about Jesus, the light in these verses and the life, as we see John as the one who brings us, see Jesus as the one who brings us into real fellowship with God in the light, I wonder which way you walk today. Are you walking in the light? Is your life having fellowship with God in the light? Or are you walking in darkness, ignoring sin, minimalizing sin, rejecting sin, saying, no, I'm fine. Maybe you think you don't sin, and so you don't need Jesus to deal with your spiritual darkness and shame. But your life will be okay. God's my buddy. God doesn't really care about sin. I'm okay. Maybe you think that you're good enough, you've got nothing to worry about. John tells us with God's authority, don't think this way. You make God a liar and the truth is not in you, and you remain in darkness. You reject the very light that comes to give you eternal life. I mentioned about that experiment in the UK where they locked the people up for 48 hours. Jesus, as you look at the beginning of John's Gospel, basically says everyone's walking in darkness. Jesus says we're walking darkness 24/7 without him. And those in the UK had all sorts of fears and insecurities and anxieties. But I'm sure those who walk in darkness outside of Jesus would experience similar things. The worry of life, the fear. I mean, we have worries and fears as Christians. We're not saying those things don't happen. But the severe worry about life. You know, am I going to be okay? Do I have eternal life? The severe emotional pain of all the sin that we know we have done. I think as we live in a culture, we have a culture that sort of allows us to suppress these things because we keep very busy. The darkness of our culture keeps us very busy. So as we're running to all these different things, entertainment, success, money, relationships, things start become empty, we see the darkness in our life. John says, don't reject the very light of God that will give you life. Allow the light of life to enter your darkness. Have a light bulb moment in your heart to what Jesus is saying today. Allow his words to illuminate your heart. Let me conclude by saying we have a real Jesus who is the great light and life who has really appeared. We have a real Redeemer whose light delivers us from darkness through the cross so we can walk in the light of God, so that we can walk with assurance as we have fellowship with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you they give us assurance. Your light shines on our life. And yes, Lord, it reveals sin. Thank you, Lord, for doing that out of your love and grace. But thank you, Lord, for going to the cross and paying the price, dying for our sin, taking upon the punishment for yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you stand both as our attorney and our atonement before the Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk with assurance in the light, knowing that as we confess our sins, they are forgiven in you. Thank you, Lord, that we have a real salvation that's true. It's not based on a fairy tale. Lord, help us to change our lives every day. Help us to wake up and know that we can walk with assurance in fellowship with you because of everything you have done. Thank you, Almighty God, for the great light that has appeared to us. And we pray, Lord, that we never reject it. We pray through you, Lord Jesus. Amen.